गोपी जाना बाला बा गिरे वरदारे गोपी जाना बाला बा गिरे वरदारे यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद गदा शिवासादि गो भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 रे हरे हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिचार्य सरस्वती श्रीमद భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయ్, రామాచార్య శిరాలిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ్, గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కి జయ్, జైనిత గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డ్యూటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డ్యూటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ అసెంబ్లీ డ్యూటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, శ్రీ గురు గౌరంగ శిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయ్. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్ వి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 7 చాప్టర్ 15 ఎంటైటిల్ Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. We're going to continue from the yesterday's verse. We're going to read the purport and the verse. So we're not doing verse 46, so we're doing 46 tomorrow. So this is text 45. Yavan nikaya ratam atma vasopakalpam date garishta charanar chanaya nishatam jnanasim achuta balo dadat astu asta shatru swananda tushto upasanta idam vijayat. So translation: as long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of God's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. It's a quite long purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Shakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సగనా రఘునాథం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన కృష్ణం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పదాన్ సగనాలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం స హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగి శిరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభానుసుతదేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వంచ కల్పతరుభ్యశ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవ్యో నమో నమః. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి తినామిలే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచార్య నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్యత్ దేశతారినే. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసారి గౌరవభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ 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 హరే హరే. సీకింగ్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ వైష్ణవర్స్, డిస్కస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం పర్పట్ 7.15.45 for my own purification. Yeah. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superior, namely the spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. So this human body. So the first paragraph, the first section of the purport we're going to read talks about the purpose of the human body. Right? We all have a human body. We don't have any choice. We are forced to take the body, if you like or not. That's how, according to karma netrena, by the supervision of the Supreme Lord and the material energy, the material nature offers us a body, forces us to take a body. That's our prarabdha karma. That's our manifestation of our all previous activity. We got this body. In Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naitima iti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. So, the human body is given for the purpose that you don't have to take the human body again. So we should get this right. And this verse is quoted again and again. Even in this purport, this verse 4.9 is quoted again at the end. This is, you can see this verse in twofold. That is, first is, if someone asking why I have to listen to the glories of Krishna, why I have to know the appearance and activities of Krishna, what benefit I get. So this is the result. This is a verse which is kind of motivating for someone to listen to Krishna Katha. If you listen to the activities of Krishna, you will not take birth. Right? We want to, most of the time is spent in discussing about someone's activity or someone's, what is he doing or what we are doing. Isn't it? The whole material world is talking about the activities of someone. So, but that does not going to liberate us. But only knowing about hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna or knowing the activities of Krishna, that's the key for liberation, that one may not take birth again. So this is the purpose of human body. Now, in order to elaborate this, Prabhupada is going to give an analogical or a metaphorical verse which is going to give an example of understanding this. So that is from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20:17. Na deham adhyam sulabam sudurlabam plamam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayanukulena nava svateritam puman bhavabdim nataret sa atmaha. This human form of body is a most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, Guru Karnadaram, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nascence. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nascence. So, here again, the human body is compared, and what is the purpose? So the human body is compared to a boat. And the boat is in the ocean. Ocean of ignorance or ocean of nascence or ocean of material world. And using this boat, one has to cross this ocean. So first thing is, one has to accept a captain. So the captain is the guru. One spiritual master is the captain of the boat. So, in this context also, we can recollect the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami wanted to give up his body because he was infested with the virus and he was actually come to Puri to see the Lord, see the Vaishnavas and drown in the ocean. That was his idea. So Mahaprabhu said, you know, you cannot give up your body because your body does not belong to you. Because at the time of initiation, we surrender our body, words, mind and everything at the feet of the spiritual master. So when we take initiation means we are accepting the captain of the body, the captain of our boat is our spiritual master. So Mahaprabhu said, you cannot do that. You don't have any rights because that belongs to me. Right? You can't just whimsically give up your body, do anything. So here we see that. So the human form of the body is a boat which is conducive to cross the ocean. But in order to maneuver or move the body, one has to accept the captain, which is the spiritual master. And the instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. So if you're sailing, wind plays a very critical, isn't it? In Bhagavad Gita, in second chapter, they talk about this. Even one sense which is not controlled, right, can take you for a ride exactly like a boat which is not anchored, just by the wind it will carry. Right? Is that right? The verse, anyone remember the verse? Even one of the roaming senses can take you away. That's a thing. The senses are so strong and impetuous, so Arjuna, they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. So, coming back, so the wind, so there are instructions of Krishna which will guide us, and then to cross the ocean. So now, then we'll move to the next part of the purport. It talks about how to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. How to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadat. Yasya na prasadat va kutapi. That is, by pleasing the spiritual master, one pleases the Supreme Lord. One gets the mercy. So here, a significant word here is Achyuta Bala. Achyuta Bala. Actually, the whole purport, Prabhupada expanded on this word, Jnanasim Achyuta Bala. That's all. The whole purport is about this knowledge and Achyuta Bala. The strength, the spiritual master. So here the transcendental, Achyuta Bala means transcendental strength of Krishna. We'll see that what is the transcendental strength in the later part of the purport. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples, and consequently by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One must first please the spiritual master, then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets a strength with which to cross the ocean of nascence. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master, for thus one gets a weapon with which to conquer the enemy. One also gets a grace of Krishna. So, we got this human body and we are in a material world. So, obviously, there is influence of modes of material nature. So contamination from modes of passion, ignorance, and goodness also. So these modes, because of the contamination, we develop so many enemies. So we have to identify the enemies. First step is, we got this human body, but we also have this contamination. So we got this enemy. So we have to conquer the enemy. We have to conquer the enemy. And in order to conquer the enemy, we need some weapons. So if you see in modern warfare, they first understand who their enemies and who their allies are. Then they'll build their arsenal or they'll build their weapons, different kinds of weapons. A long range, short range, guns, so many things, so many weapons, modern. So similarly, in order to equip or in order to overcome this enemy, we need a weapon. And what is this weapon here? What is the weapon they're talking about in this verse in order to conquer our enemy? Knowledge. Very good. The sword of knowledge. Just having the knowledge, is it sufficient? It's not sufficient. So, example, if you have a sword, in order to cut the enemy. So in Bhagavad Gita, yesterday also, we saw, to cut the material connection, we need the sword. But the sword has to be sharp. The knowledge, in other sense, we need to be intelligent to use this knowledge. Right? That's where the wisdom comes. Just knowing the knowledge is not going to have any effect. When you apply, then we can overcome the enemy. So similarly, so we'll continue. Simply getting the weapon of jnana is insufficient. So Prabhupada writing. So how are we going to sharpen that weapon? One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instruction. So this is another important aspect. That one gets the knowledge. So Krishna gives the sword. Krishna gives that knowledge, okay, weapon. But in order to use that weapon, one has to sharpen that weapon. That is by serving the spiritual master. So even in modern civilization, you actually buy knowledge by money. You go to an institution, you pay the money, you get the knowledge. But in Vedic style, you cannot buy knowledge. You can only get knowledge by submissively serving the spiritual master. That is the system. Not just by paying ransom, money. So it becomes like those who have money, they can get knowledge. But actually it is not that way of one get knowledge in Vedic system, that submissive inquiry and service. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Isn't it? Pariprashnena sevaya. First one has to surrender submissively to the spiritual master and inquire relevant subject matter questions and service, render service. So then one get the knowledge, one get the sharpen, one can get the sharpen so that he can cut the enemy. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, knowledge is available. So Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Krishna has given this knowledge. It is the most confidential knowledge, but it is open. The secrets of all secret is open. But just by getting that knowledge, one cannot get benefit. It's like getting a sword which is not sharp at all, blunt. But by serving, this is the system of Krishna, that one has to follow, one has to come to this system, that one has to accept a spiritual master. One has to accept the captain. First thing is one has to accept a captain. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horse in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemy, he may give up the chariot and his paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. So this purpose of human body is that we don't get another body. So this is very important. So we know what is the purpose of human body, and it is what comparison is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, and how to get this mercy of the Supreme Lord by pleasing the spiritual master, that is serving, one gets sharpened the sword. Now we'll continue. So Prabhupada is going to explain what is the purpose of knowledge, that why this knowledge is given. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendently situated, Brahma Bhuta, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shoshati Na Kankshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato jnatva vishyate tat anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And one is in full consciousness of Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So the purpose of knowledge is one has to develop devotion. Right? We are not Jnana Marg. We are not into acquiring knowledge so that we can merge into impersonal Brahman. Shastra, studying Shastra so that moksha, we get moksha. The purpose of knowledge is to develop devotion. Right? If we do devotion to develop knowledge, then that is Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Right? I will do devotion so that I can know many Shastra, many verse, many. That is not our idea of studying scriptures. Knowledge leads to devotion. The whole point of the presentation of vibhuti or the opulence of the Lord is to understand the greatness of Krishna. And the next step or the natural progression of understanding how a person great is, we want to develop a relationship with that person. Right? The more we know about a person, we want to connect with that personality. So that is the idea of presenting all the opulence and vibhuti of the Lord, so that we understand how wonderful this person is, and I want to develop some devotion. Bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. Not by knowledge, not by shastric pandit. By bhakti only we can understand Krishna. So that is the purpose of knowledge. So Krishna is giving knowledge so that we get attracted towards him. We get attracted towards him. That is the purpose. And just by attracting, knowing about him, we will not take birth again. So what if one not using the boat properly, or what if if one is not using the human body properly. So that's what Prabhupada is going to explain next. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept a material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naitima mitiso arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tattvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tattvata jnatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Haruya krichena param padam tata patanti ado nadrita yushmat angraha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, one cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if attains the stage of Brahma padam, merging in Brahman without bhakti, he is prone to fall down. See? So, even if one attains Brahman or impersonal liberation, he will have to come down because he has not developed bhakti. He has not served the lotus feet of Krishna. So, unless one understands Krishna in truth by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. So, the knowledge is given, that knowledge is received through Guru Parampara. Knowledge is there, but that knowledge has to be received through Guru Parampara. Then one will be able to understand about Krishna. Otherwise, that knowledge will lead to mental speculation, and eventually the path will be impersonal liberation. But unless until one receives the mercy of the devotees. So we have seen many places in Bhagavatam also that there are devotees or there are people who are impersonal liberation, but by coming in touch with devotees or the paraphernalia of the Lord, they quickly recognize or quickly elevated to the platform of bhakti. So, unless until one is connected to Guru Parampara, there is a high chance that he will not have the right knowledge or the application of the knowledge will be imperfect. So, even though it is transcendental knowledge, even though it is not, it is pure, but still one has to receive through parampara. Otherwise, there's every chance that he will fall down to the material world. It's very, we can imagine, like if the favorable breeze is there, boat is there, but there is no captain. What is the probability that the boat will cross the ocean? Right? So it's very important that we connect with the parampara. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance to come to the stage is the bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of material world. So, some or other one has to come to bhakti. Either through knowledge, bhagunam janmanam ante jnanamam mam prapadyante, Krishna says. Or through the mercy of the spiritual master. So that's easy. That we get the knowledge, speculate, then by the many lifetime, one may surrender to Krishna, or one can get the knowledge through Guru Parampara, make the knowledge sharp, make the sword sharp, cut the enemies, and get the mercy of Krishna. Serve the Guru, get the mercy of Krishna. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness. For by his mercy and instruction, one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus, one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. So that's the summary. Now Prabhupada is going to talk about that strength or the key for success. The next other whatever discussion is Prabhupada is going to talk about the key for success or the strength. Significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achyuta Bala. Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna, and when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instruction, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Vrajendra Nandana A. Satchisuta Hailashai. Balaram Hailo Nitai. This Bala, Balaram, comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapi yata chila arinama udarila. Their weapon is Sankirtana, Arinam. Thus, one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Jai Krishna Balaram ki jai. So here we see Krishna is giving the sword of knowledge. So Krishna's weapon is knowledge. Then in the age of Kali, Krishna, who is none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his weapon is Sankirtan. His weapon is Sankirtan. Now, the knowledge is given by Krishna, and this sword, example, the sword is given by Krishna, which is compared to knowledge, and this sword is sharpened by serving the spiritual masters or the previous acharyas. Now, in order to lift that sword, you may have a sword, you could have, you know, sharpened, but in order to lift the sword or in order to cut the enemy, in order to get that strength, where it is coming from? That strength is coming from Balaram. Of course, the spiritual masters are the representative of Balaram Tattva. They are the representative of Balaram. So the strength is given coming from Balaram. So mercy is coming from Krishna in the form of knowledge, but strength coming from Balaram. Without the strength, you cannot lift the sword nor cut the enemies. Right? In the Mandaka Upanishad 3.2.4, it is said, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyo Na Cha Pramadat Tapaso Vapi Alingat Etar upayar yatad yastu vidvams tasyasya atma visade brahma dama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitayera karuna habe vraje radha krishna pabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sammanda nahiyara brita janma gale tara vidya kulahi karibe tara. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these asserts will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Jai. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. So if you see, this is a process, this is a system here, you know, very structured way of attaining the spiritual world, right? It is not like hayway or like, you know, we have the knowledge, okay, directly approach. No. This system is given. Through the parampara, through the mercy of devotees, we can serve Krishna. This is the mood that through different personalities we get the mercy to serve Krishna. Not that even though in the material realm the object of service or the person who is receiving service, we want to be close as possible. We want to remove the layers between the object of receiving the service and ourselves. Right? We want to go closer to that person, as close as connecting. But in the spiritual realm, it is not like that. What is more pleasing is serving the vani of the spiritual master, isn't it? If you get the chance to be close with spiritual master, yes, everyone likes to be, no problem. But what is more important is serving the instruction. That's where you get the mercy of the spiritual master. So the more we serve, we put many layers between us and Krishna, is the more we get the mercy from Krishna. So this is a different, totally opposite to the material way of thinking. So in order to serve Krishna, then we have to go through this channel, that we have to serve the spiritual master, then we get the mercy of Balaram, then we have to get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then we approach Radha Krishna, servants of the servants of the servant. So let us summarize of this purport. So first thing is, one has to conquer the enemies of the soul. Okay? What are these enemies? The previous verse talk about these enemies. Arising from the modes of material nature, passion and ignorance. Lust, greed, envy, illusion, madness, all this is jealous, envy. So these are the enemies of the soul. So we have given this material body. So how to conquer it? So we have identified the enemies, and we need to conquer these enemies. The first is, we have to get the sword of knowledge, which is given by Krishna. So Krishna helps within as Paramatma, and without from his instruction in the form of Bhagavad Gita, other books, even Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of the questions the sages ask is, after Krishna has departed to his abode, where did Dharma took shelter? Right? So Sutta Goswami said that, so when Krishna is gone back to his abode, Dharma took shelter is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the light, which will dissipate the darkness of ignorance, which will give vision. So this book, which is in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or the sword, or the knowledge, which can actually remove the ignorance, that is given by Krishna. So he is helped within and without. So he is present in front of Arjuna giving instruction. So this Bhagavad Gita is there. Bhagavatam is there. So in order to cut the enemies, okay, we got this knowledge, but we need to sharpen. How to sharpen the sword? By serving the spiritual master or the previous acharyas. Sincerely submissive inquiry and service. Basically, get the spiritual intelligence. So, by reading shastras, by hearing from the devotees and spiritual master, we get spiritual intelligence. Our intelligence get sharpened. In the start of this verse translation, the human body with its different parts and paraphernalia which are not fully under one control, especially they're talking about mind. The human body comes with the gross and subtle. And the master of all senses is the mind. Very difficult to overcome. Arjuna is saying, I can control the mighty wind, but not this mind. So what did Krishna says? It is possible only by practice and detachment. It is only by practice. And what is this practice? Spiritual practice. That we hear, we read, we chant every day. Yeah? So when we continuously keeping our sadhana, it will keep our intelligence intact. So then by sharpening, so without sharpening, just by knowledge one cannot cut. There is a high chance one get entangled. Right? Even if I have a knowledge, without connecting to Guru Parampara, he will end up in impersonal liberation. See, there is always a problem. So even when one reaches impersonal liberation, okay, one may say, okay, what is wrong? But the problem is, they cannot able to stay there long. They have to come down again. Mercy or the knowledge is given by Krishna in the form of, the sword is given by, so now we have the weapon. Well, now we know how to sharpen the weapon. We know who the enemies are. Now what we need is strength. Right? We need the strength to lift the sword and cut the enemies. And where the strength coming from? Balaram. So without the strength, you cannot lift the sword or cut the enemies. So how to please Balaram, how to please Krishna is, again, serving the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the captain. So that helps us. When we follow all these things, when we make use of this opportunity and facility, then one can easily cross over the ocean of nations. Otherwise, there is a high chance that he will entangle again oneself in the material body. So without the mercy of spiritual master, without the mercy of Balaram, without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot cross the ocean of material existence. So that's how this purport is given. So I'll stop here, and if I see anyone has any correction, comments or questions on what we discussed today.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. You mentioned in the verse explains how this human body is like very valuable, it's very valuable, and we shouldn't even waste one moment of it. But when I see my non-devotee friends, how they're wasting their valuable time, and they don't give any importance to spiritual life, even by requesting them to chant, telling the importance of chanting, they don't respond like positively. So what should I do at that stage? Should I keep on trying, or should I pray, or should I just avoid them?
Okay. No one wants Krishna consciousness in this world. That's a reality. Few years back, including myself. See, so that's why So we saw the example of Jagai Madai. They also don't want. But devotees are merciful. So one has to be compassionate and identify and be patient. Our job is to preach. making devotees are there taking up Krishna consciousness is up to Krishna. If we are focused on the result, we will not be happy. We just focus on the effort. Your job is, you go to school, you tell them about Krishna consciousness, that's all. Then you check next person, you tell, next it, that's it. So, we cannot completely expect the way how we want it. We can trick them. If they don't like philosophy, give prasadam. If they don't like that also, make them to say Hare Krishna. They're seeing you, they're appreciating you, they are associating with you, and they like you. So definitely they're increasing their spiritual potency, I mean like credit. So when time comes, they will take it. So you do your part. You give prasadam or you give philosophy, you give talk about Hare Krishna, tell about chanting, that's all. Isn't it? So, when we, most of the time, when we are going to people to present Krishna consciousness or something, they are very smart. They are very smart. They know where you are coming from, what you are trying to do. They are very smart. But what they don't know is Krishna is smarter than them. We see quite a difference of transformation in when we go to uni, when we give prasad. They don't want philosophy, they don't want anything, but they want prasad. But just coming and taking prasad for a few weeks, they only come and tell, you know, sometimes mind is giving problem, what should I do? But they don't want to open first. And then slowly, because of prasadam, it's like the cultivation of the land before we put the seed. So we have to till the land, we have to prepare the land, we have to make sure so these are all groundwork. Groundwork. So we have to be patient for the groundwork. We have to right opportune moment will come, then they will take up Krishna consciousness. That's all. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
Bruce, in the analogy that you mentioned about the sword,
yep,
and fighting against the enemy of ignorance, maybe I missed it, but is there a mention about where does the impetus to fight come from?
Impetus to fight, you mean?
Yeah.
It's not mentioned, but
because sometimes we can have all the tools, but we're just lazy, you know?
Because that impetus is actually spiritual intelligence. Because mind is the worst enemy, because it's within us. That clarity comes when, at least when I have that bitter experience or the frustration, because we're following the path of mind. So we understand, we have to introspect, we have to analyze what kind of pleasure or what kind of I'm deriving out of this activity, or, you know. Because most of the time that flickering or the temptation or the happiness is so short-lived. At the same time, we have some experience of this higher taste in Krishna consciousness. Right? Otherwise, we would have not be here. So it's just a matter of choosing what we wanted. Then we use our intelligence to finish this enemy. So obviously, the first stage is when we identify the enemy, we want to finish our enemy. We can't live our whole life with our enemy. That's the worst thing we can do for ourselves. That we know that our mind is problem, our lot of disturbance. So we can't live. It's like if you identify enemy, okay, fine. But then if you're someone is always with you and you think that that person is a friend, but actually he is the greatest enemy, right? That more damage than the actual identification of enemy. So the impetus comes from intelligence if we understand, okay, what is our goal? That's our usual thing, right? Most of the time we think, if I can get rid of all the problem, then I can be happy. This is a usual conception. So we work on our problems to remove all our obstacles. Similarly, if our goal is to cross the ocean, or if a goal to achieve to be Krishna consciousness, then we understand, okay, these are the enemy. Now I have to remove this enemy. Or these are the weeds, I need to remove the weeds. That comes when we develop the higher taste, and that comes by constant hearing and reading Prabhupada books. We get reminded of. Otherwise, it's just we take it easy, complacent. Constant hearing, constant associating with devotees in terms of hearing and chanting and everything, it will remind us constantly what we have to do, what is our life goal, what is it. And then we work on that. Otherwise, it is just we take it for granted. Yeah, it is there, maybe next, maybe later. Is it okay? I don't know whether I answer the question, but anyone wants to add? Okay. I'll stop here. Thank you very much, everyone. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.